Hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm 12 years old, watching TV in my room, and I see this image of feral femininity come on the screen. And it wasn't until I saw musician Courtney Love play guitar in a music video with her band Hole that I even knew that girls could play guitar. So I begged my mom for a guitar for Christmas, obviously. I'd always loved music. My mom says I was dancing in my crib with MTV in the background. I was singing as soon as I could speak. But I very soon gave up school musicals in order to learn how to play guitar in my room by playing along to my favorite records. When I was 14, my mom and I moved to Nashville. And pretty soon, in the school hallway, this other ninth grader approached me and said, "I heard you play guitar. You want to start a band?" Yeah, I do. And soon we were writing songs and practicing in her giant house in the county. Her parents got us our first show at their church. And I remember her dad, like, insisting that we play a Beatles song. So none of it was punk at all in any way. But by making that artistic compromise, I was able to perform for people for the first time. And I've been hooked ever since. Soon after that, I met my next goal of playing at Lucy's Record Shop in downtown Nashville, where all the cool bands played. I made a ton of friends. I played as much as I could. I got to see touring bands. A lot of really great experiences. But what I didn't really realize when I started playing guitar is that the price to enter these spaces that I loved was often sexual discrimination and harassment. Comments about my body, my ability, a doubt that I had any knowledge at all about music whatsoever, or even the frustrating, "Oh, you're actually pretty good." Sometimes we'd get too much attention, right? People would say, "Oh my God, you're so great," because the bar for female musicians was so low, they couldn't imagine we were playing. Sometimes we wouldn't get a show because there was already a woman in a band playing that night. Or we'd only get to play with all girl bands, even though musically it didn't make any sense, because these male booking agents, to them, gender is a genre. So I wasn't always on stage, right? You love music, you go see shows. In the audience, I've been followed around. I've been stared at. I've been danced really close to. I've been touched without my permission. I've had friends had their drinks spiked, be sexually assaulted. I've had friends be called the N-word at a house show with supposedly very cool progressive people putting it on. I've had trans friends not even want to show up because they weren't really sure if they'd be accepted. And disabled friends not be able to go to a show because there's no ramps or special accommodations for them. So it's pretty frustrating that this world I love is often not very welcoming. So flash forward a bunch of years, and I'm in this band called War and Women, and we're on tour. It's the first night of tour where we're opening for a punk band called Anti-Flag. And I'm sitting at a table before the show writing out a set list, and the sound engineer comes and sits next to me and says he's really distracted by my legs. They sure do look good. All I could do is kind of do that nervous laugh, you know? Even though my band is called War on Women, I feel like I should be able to speak up about this, but frankly, I didn't know what would happen. He has the power to make us sound terrible that night, right? We want to impress the headliner. And frankly, I didn't know if the headliner would have our back because it was the first time we were meeting them. Now, luckily, they did have our back. And when they found out what happened, they told the club it was totally inappropriate, that they needed to handle that employee, and the club did. And that's cool. But how am I supposed to know what bands and what venues are cool? It's you just don't know when you enter these spaces who you can count on or if you're going to be supported. So these spaces are, to me, supposed to be an escape from the real world. And they're often not. they sometimes exhibit the same exact bullshit that we have to deal with in the real world that's constantly trying to put us in our place, right? So this real world, let's say about 10 years ago, I was working and living in Catonsville, and I was working at a vintage guitar shop. And part of my job is I'd have to go on a bank run sometimes, and that meant having a very nice two-block walk to myself on the clock, right? But it wasn't so nice because every single time on the way to and from the bank, I had to pass by a Jiffy Lube. And I was yelled at or whistled at every single time I passed, or, hey, baby, nice ass, where you going? You got a boyfriend? Every single time. Eventually, you kind of lose it, you get fed up, and you say, who fucking said that? Say it to my face. And they just laughed. They didn't care. And I realized in that moment, I felt powerless. How was I supposed to convince these people that I was a person too? So I got tired of being fed up, and I started the Baltimore chapter of Hollaback, which is an organization with chapters all over the world that collects people's stories of harassment. And I have found empowerment ever since by teaching people how to respond to harassment, whether you're the victim or a bystander or a venue. I even wrote a book and published a book last year called Making Spaces Safer, a guide to giving harassment the boot wherever you work, play, and gather. And it's in the back table over there for sale. Because I wanted to give that feeling of empowerment to as many people as possible, right? I want artists and entertainers and workers and audience members alike to be able to help their fellow community members and to recognize the power they do already have and use it for good. So I'm only a very small part of this movement, but I feel like I have seen an increase in people using these strategies over the last few years, an increase in signs on the wall. And I think that's amazing. And I've really only gotten maybe one critique about my book, and of course it was from someone on Twitter, who just said it's not radical enough. And I kind of thought, well, that's kind of great, actually, isn't it? Because I don't think using active listening skills is that radical. I don't think calming someone down who's in distress by using grounding techniques is that radical. I don't think putting a sign on the wall that says no harassment tolerated or if someone's making you uncomfortable, please see the staff is that radical. And I don't think putting the safety and attendance of marginalized people over the folks harassing and causing harm should be considered radical. I'm actually about to go on tour again in a week and a half. I've raised enough money to give a copy of my book to every venue that we're playing, because when I was coming up, I wish every band I played with and every space I played had the tools, the strategies to support people that are harassed. With whatever hardship I might have gone through, I know people have had it worse, and I just don't think that any of that stuff should be a barrier to getting to do what you want in life. I think everyone should have the opportunity to rock without hate or harassment holding them back.